Hey, discerning listeners, a lot of you have been asking me to react to this video by Amaranth, I believe is her name. I Googled her on Wikipedia. It says her name is Caitlin Siragusa, and she is an American social media personality, streamer, and OnlyFans creator. I think she's mainly on Twitch, and I think this video might be triggering for people from what I understand, so watch with care. Let's watch. My name is Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. Because I'm going to let you say what you think you heard. But then I'm going to say what I thought I said. But you cannot interrupt mine because I'm not going to interrupt you.
What?
Okay, so according to what's being written as the title and the comments, she is on a conversation with her husband and they're having a conflict of some sort. He sounds really angry. I don't know the background on this. Let's continue watching.
What the fuck did you just say to me?
You already said it again?
Yes.
Will you leave? Because then I'll say it 10 times.
Yeah.
I told you. Then just pack up.
What are you saying to me?
Because are you even listening?
You just said something really fucking mean.
Oh yeah, I did. Because you didn't, and did you even listen to what I said? What was the condition?
I don't remember.
Exactly, see? I said, I'm gonna let you say what you think you heard. Then, when you're done, I'm gonna say, what I said.
All right, it's hard for me to know what's happening. I can never know what is happening just from a snippet of someone's relationship. So I don't know. I'm guessing we'll get some more data moving forward, but just some initial observations. I think she knows that she's recording, but for sure, I don't think he knows that he's being recorded and that this is going out to the world. And then his tone of voice. We can think about tone of voice as a part of emotional content and communication. And at least to my ears, it sounds like he is amping up the tone of his voice. You know, there are times when we will have tone like this, but it'll seem more congruent with the situation. His tone doesn't seem very congruent. I don't know. Maybe this is a congruent situation, but I've heard this style of communication before, obviously, clinically, and it sounds like someone that's entering into a mode that they go into as a way of trying to come across as angry and intimidating. I don't know that for sure.
I'm not going to interrupt you, and you're not going to interrupt me.
You just...
No, let's stop right there. No, stop!
Why did you say you were going to kill dogs?
You're literally doing the thing that you did this morning, which is you're interrupting what I'm explaining to
No.
you.
No.
Okay, again, hard for me to tell what's going on. It certainly sounds like he's being a jerk face. Maybe verbally abusive, I don't know. But he is saying, don't interrupt me. Now, if she is prone to interrupting him repeatedly, it might make some sense for him to do this. Or are we looking at a situation where he just doesn't want her talking and he wants to have control of the conversation? There's certainly a lot nicer ways to communicate than the way he's communicating.
Tell me, that's not acceptable.
What do you mean, no? I'm telling you right now. You're interrupting me telling you.
Why did you say you were gonna kill my dogs?
Leave the house.
All right, so we don't know, but at least she believes he said that he was going to kill her dogs. I will tell you from clinical experience and personal experience for that matter, that abusive people will use whatever method they can find to control you. And sometimes they will control you through your children or through your pets or through your things. They, like Angela, might destroy your car, might try to destroy your phone. People will threaten to kill the children or take the kids away from you or pets. Absolutely. And it can be terrifying. You know, imagine you're being victimized by your partner and you worry about what they're capable of, right? They've demonstrated through various behavior that they are capable of extreme rage and extreme violence, or at least they've threatened it. And you might come to certain crossroads where it's like, well, I could assert myself and get to safety, but does that mean I'm risking the possibility of the abusive person killing my animals, killing my pet dogs? That is horrible. And that's why whenever we're extracting ourselves from abusive relationships, we need support. This is why shelters are important. This is why you need a whole support team. You want a therapist, you want an advocate, you might involve the police potentially. Because when you don't have have that support system, then the abusive person can isolate the victim, can make threats that are absolutely possible, and the victim has no way of accounting for the, you know, if she had a full system around her, she could plan ahead to have the dogs at a friend's house, then she could go to a shelter, and then when he has this huge blow up that she's left, he doesn't have access to anything that could harm her.
Okay, I can leave the, you know what, actually, I shouldn't leave the house, because my dogs are here.
We'll take the dogs and leave. I'm telling you, you're asking the question, I'm telling you, and you're interrupting my fucking, like, telling you, literally.
What are you saying? You just told me you were gonna kill dogs if I didn't do a 24-hour stream.
Nope, did not say that. Now you're just fucking being a liar.
I'm not,
I said, I'm going to tell you what I said in terms of the earlier, because you're still saying that I, oh my god, dude, you said.
All right, so obvious trigger warning here. If you have PTSD or even close to any sort of traumatic syndrome or past regarding abusive relationships, then you probably shouldn't be watching. You should be talking with your therapist before watching something like this. The thing I'm picking up right now, if you just look at the emotional content, is that she is sad and she is pleading. You can hear that in her voice. And he is amping it up. And I've seen this style of abuse before. We saw this actually, the Bad Vegan documentary on Netflix, I believe. If you've seen that documentary, you heard these recordings in which the abusive individual had a very similar tone of voice. It's like unrelenting. It doesn't really fit the situation. Again, there are times when it seems congruent. It doesn't make it okay to have this tone of voice that he's exhibiting. But abusive people who have a pattern of this sort of behavior, and often it is born out of Machiavellian manipulation, meaning the individual knows that they're purposely amping up their voice. It's akin to when children will change their voice as a way of trying to manipulate people. All kids will do that, or at least most kids will do that. And hopefully people grow out of that and have other ways of communicating about things. But if you are in this constant state of trying to establish control and intimidation, it's perhaps not viable to depend on natural anger, because you might not actually be provoked to natural anger. So you have to amp it up frequently. And it kind of has that tone to it where he's screaming and he has the intensity of anger, but there's really nothing to be angry about. And he's not expressing, I'm not hearing anything from him like, you did this thing. And because usually if it was congruent, there would be something like that. Like, you completely let me down in the following ways. I can't believe you did that to me. He's not saying anything like that. I think what emotionally is happening, I don't know, but it has the look of a relationship in which he doesn't like the tone of her voice. He doesn't like it that she's questioning. He doesn't like that she's not on board, or he's trying to get to a zone where he feels more in control. I don't know. I don't want to say that for sure, but it just has that kind of feel to it.
Why are you pausing? You didn't ask a question. You said a statement. Did you say that? No?
I tried to tell you.
Did you not say that? Are you saying you did not say that?
I tried.
All right, so another thing to note is that she's crying, and obviously it's clear to him that she's crying. He can hear it in her voice, and he is still in that zone of screaming. Although the tone has shifted a little, it's turned down a little bit, so maybe he's on the downward slope here. Okay, finally, we're going to hear some background as to what this is all about.
I asked you why, if there's a reason, because you insinuated that. Why would we only do threesomes with guys?
I think we should do threesomes. Threesomes.
Oh my god! See, this right here.
All right, I'm going off very little information, but if I was to take a guess, they had a conversation about threesomes, it sounds like, and at least he interpreted it. She's saying that didn't happen, but he interpreted it as her saying she would only want to have a threesome with another guy. And I'm just going to take a guess and say that tweaked his attachment injuries and insulted him somehow, hurt him somehow, and his response was to eventually get to this place where he's screaming at her. And now it's also possible that he completely made this up. There are personality disorders that can affect the way that we see the world, the way that we interpret things. We will not in a delusional way, but we will literally process reality in a way that is so distorted that anyone from the outside would be like, that is not what happened, even though the individual with the personality disorder is like, yes, that happened, that happened, that happened. So if you have particular relational traumas that resulted in a particular personality disorder or a set of personality disorders, they could have had a conversation about threesomes. She could have not said something like, I only want to be with a guy, but she could have said something that could have been remotely sort of interpreted that way. He now completely believes that she said that, and thus now he is engaging in his behavior that he engages in order to communicate that he's upset, which is coming across, at the very least, as verbally abusive. But I don't know. I really just don't have any idea. Maybe some of y'all are just like, no, Kirk, you're completely off base. She's the bad person. I mean, I just never know what you want me to watch, but she doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with what she's doing.
It's why I said that. You weren't even listening, which is my point. If you're not listening well enough, then you're literally... Now you see why. I didn't say if you don't shit 24 hours, I'm gonna kill your dogs.
You're so...
Listen! I said, I'm gonna say a thing, you're gonna say a thing, and I bet you're not gonna hear mine at all.
So you hear that rage in his voice, like he's screaming. He's like completely out of control. The tone of his voice, you hear that voice. And that sounds not trumped up. That sounds actually like he's starting to decompensate. He's melting down. And yeah, I mean, I hope you can hear the tone of the voice. I mean, I know you could hear it, but I hope you can identify it as such, as someone that it's just unrelenting tone. It's more typical for people to have escalations and then they'll come down and escalate. He's just at this consistent tone, which is a huge red flag for someone that engages in ongoing intimidation and abuse. I don't know that, of course. I can't assess that. Even if I watch the rest, this video is an hour and 40 minutes. I still won't be able to know exactly what's going on because with actual clients that I work with, they're in my office. I can ask them questions. So I'm only speculating based on very little information.
And to prove the point, I said something terrible. To prove that when something is very, very important to you, you literally don't hear anything else.
And once again, she's crying. It's clear. I'm pretty sure he can hear that. And the lack of attunement to that, the lack of response to that, lack of empathy for that. You'd think even if she was doing something wrong to him, which I don't know if we're really hearing evidence of that, but it's hard to know what happened. You'd think he would say, okay, honey, I'm sorry. I'm just upset. You think you'd have some acknowledgement of the fact that, and she's not just kind of crying. I mean, she's sobbing. She can barely talk. You'd think he would respond to that somehow. And so the fact that he's not is obviously concerning.
And now that you're trying to play the victim, I'm pissed even more because you're now lying. You didn't even hear what I said. That's the point. I said it very clearly, but you didn't hear it. Why? Because something more terrible distracts you.
Think you're hearing what you say.
No, I did. I said it on purpose. I said it to show you how easily distracted you are. You're working on condition. You're lying.
Well, I'll tell you, this is getting under my skin. I mean, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. There's a sense of danger and threat that you can absorb. Just, I'm not even in the room. I don't even know these people. And hearing that voice, it's kind of a shock to the system. So, yikes.
You're literally lying to me. I said this. Stop. I said, you're going to tell me what you said. Then I'm going to tell you what I said. And if you lie or interrupt my part, I'm gonna kill your dogs. That's exactly what I said.
All right, well, you just admitted, even though I think earlier he denied it, he said, if you don't comply with my narrative, I am going to kill your dogs. Now, maybe he'll follow this up with saying, I didn't actually mean that, but even still.
When I say that, instantly you forget what you said and what I said. Both.
Why do you have to say you're gonna kill my dog? What does that help anything?
Because, stop. Zoom out! Because you aren't understanding my point, which is this.
Again, you hear that tone of voice. It's just this unrelenting, high intensity, rageful, attempting to be intimidating. I don't know why. It just reminds me of when kids will be hurt by something, right? They're sad about something and they're crying and you go over to soothe them, but they feel like they haven't really received what they're looking for. And so maybe the beginning of the emotional expression was genuine, but as time goes on, they kind of keep it going, right? It's like, ah, and you can hear it in their voice. You parents out there will know, if you work with young children, you know that there's this mode that a lot of kids will go into where they're just like, and it's kind of comical sometimes because they're clearly not actually crying anymore, but they're just trying to keep it going. It has that vibe to it, right? And so, and I will say that a lot of people who exhibit this kind of abusive behavior have been through a lot of traumas very early in life and thus will retain behaviors and mindsets and approaches and perceptions that are commensurate with that age. They've never graduated or developed into a different, more mature place where they can emote in a more healthy way. But anyway, so he's doing that, but he says, I threatened to kill your dogs because, and I'm like, well, maybe there's a reason that I could possibly understand, or he will say, I didn't really mean it that way. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't rescind it. He doesn't deny it. He said it. And he says, the reason why I did that is because I knew that you would not believe or you would deny reality, essentially, is what he's saying. Now, we can talk about gaslighting because I don't know if that's what's happening right now. But when abuse happens, and the internet will use the term gaslighting for things that, at least clinically, we would never use the word gaslighting for. Gaslighting clinically is a situation in an abusive relationship where the abusive individual will go on a campaign, whether conscious or unconscious. Listen to my episodes on gaslighting for more information on that. But the effect is that the victim will start to question whether or not they understand reality or not. So this could be along those lines. I can't know that. I'd have to ask her how she's receiving it. But that effort of, you're wrong, you said this thing and I know it. And even though in the beginning, if you're being victimized by this, you might be able to hold on to your memories. You might be like, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. Or no, it's not okay to threaten my dogs. That's not normal. But the onslaught, and you might be able to hold on for a couple days, maybe even a couple months, but over time, just the onslaught of the anger and the rage and the intimidation, you sometimes just start thinking, well, wait, do I remember this right? Because they seem so convinced of this perspective. Maybe I'm wrong, right? Another thing that can happen is that you have a difficult choice to make. You can choose to remember reality and to fight against it, at least internally, but even externally, be like, no, that's not what happened, and get abused more. Or you can go down an easier road, given the circumstances, to just go along with the gaslighting, because the abuse and the consequences to you physically and mentally and emotionally will be lessened, because you just say, okay, you know what, maybe I am wrong, and maybe you do remember better than I do. I guess I am stupid. And particularly if you have a history of that in your childhood, you were socialized to be that way anyway.
You were emotionally triggered. You weren't actually listening to me. But then you try to come back and use that as my fault for not saying it. But I did say it. You just don't remember.
So if you've been in a relationship with someone like this or something akin to this, you might be able to relate to being lectured at for a long period of time while you're zoning out or you're being talked over, you're not being allowed to say anything. The lecturer slash partner, romantic partner, is not interested in having a back and forth with you. They don't care about what you are internalizing. They just want a platform to yell at you. And again, this is similar. It's not always the case. There's many different presentations of abusive individuals, but often what this is indicative of someone who was abused growing up, wasn't allowed to develop, and thus is, in essence, stuck in a certain phase of development. Not their entire personality or their entire self, but when they are stressed out, they will often revert to this earlier point. We call this regression. There are other words for it. But to give an analogy to a developmental stage, if you've ever been around kids or you have kids of your own and they're around fourth grade-ish, they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that period of time. And certainly people can do this outside of that period. But one of the aspects of this stage is that the individual is learning how to communicate better. They're learning how to put sentences together and whole paragraphs together, but they aren't so good at back and forth, listening to someone and necessarily even caring what the other person is receiving from them. They will tend to yammer at you about something that they're interested in, which is totally fine. You know, if you've ever had a third grader tell you about her favorite TV show or something, she's just like, oh, and then this happens, and you're just listening like, oh, yeah. And the third grader, because of their age, is overwhelmed with the task of trying to communicate to you, and they haven't yet mastered that enough such that they can take tiny little breaks and pay attention to whether or not you care or whether or not you're receiving it or whether or not you're even understanding what they're saying half the time. So one way to think about this, and I don't know if this is the case, but if I saw this in my office, that would just be an hypothesis that I would have, is that the individual, at least under stress, is coming from that developmental stage.
Here's the crazy part. I had already forgiven you for not remembering, but then you came at me and said, no, you didn't say it.
If you're ever the recipient of this, whether it's abusive or narcissistic, the temptation is to try to engage with it, to say, oh, okay, to try to interject or even try to convey that you understand what they're saying. And they might actually get annoyed with you that you are interrupting them. And we heard that earlier, that he really did not want her to interrupt, which it didn't sound like she was interrupting. It sounded like she was just having a part in the conversation. So it might be helpful to remember that when you're the recipient of that, such that you just don't try to engage because you're not really dealing with someone that is interested in hearing from you. They might actually be so overwhelmed with their own narrative that they neurologically or personality-wise can't even process your side of the conversation. Of course, it doesn't excuse it. And if it's in an abusive context, you should know that you don't have to put up with any of that crap and you should go on a campaign to get support such that you can extract yourself from that relationship.
You're being crazy. That's what you did. Listen, it's okay to be emotionally frail. It's okay.
So this is just so interesting how formulaic this is. So she has subdued herself. She has gone into a state of obedience and listening, which is what I think he's going for. And she knows that. Earlier, she was actually trying to have a conversation, which he was not receptive to. And then she started to cry, which again, he wasn't receptive to. It even escalated him. And now she's just probably not even really listening because he's not even really saying anything directly. It's more the emotional part of this. And now he's starting to calm down and you can hear him start to use words that are nicer, like, hey, it's okay. But again, that amped up, false, intense yelling at someone to try to dominate the conversation is still happening, even though he's starting to dip into nicer language. And again, if you're a victim of this kind of abuse, you will feel relieved potentially, be like, oh, he just said something nice. And it'll feel like, okay, finally, everything's getting back to normal. But really what's happening is it's still in the abuse zone. It's just a little less so.
It would be even better if you just accepted and admitted it instead of being so defensive about it. But what is not okay is to be emotionally frail and then blame it on the person who's not.
What? What are you even talking about?
Yeah, interesting. I have no idea what's happening in this relationship. She could be a monster. He could be temporarily abusive. I don't know. But if this is an ongoing pattern and it is indeed abusive, then I think what he's saying is you are fragile, meaning that when you cry or exhibit any kind of discomfort or pain or fear or sadness in reaction to my behavior, it's not because of me, because I'm perfect. It's you. You're fragile and I am not. And thus, any complaint you have is in your own head. You're too sensitive. I think that's what he's saying.
You brought up the dogs out of nowhere.
Exactly.
So what? What point is there improving?
See? You're proving my point right now.
What? I'm asking you. I don't even understand what you're saying.
again, I can't, they've probably had so many conversations in this category that each conversation kind of builds on each other. Or it's also possible that even if I had heard all those conversations, I still would not really understand what is happening. We want to look at the emotional content, that he is determined emotionally to make her fragile, weak, wrong, the bad person in the relationship. He's the perfect one. His reaction is normal. He's stable. Everything's fine. And then she is saying, so wait, that's your explanation as to why you threatened to kill my dogs? That is make any sense to me. You said it out of nowhere. And then he says, see, you're proving my point. You're doing it again. You're the crazy one. You're the fragile one. You're the sensitive one. I'm the normal one. Everything's fine. Okay, so he's going to say it one more time. Let's see if it makes any sense to us. He's trying to explain why he would threaten to kill her pet dogs.
I need you to get the fuck out. My point was this. If something triggers you emotionally, you will not remember anything else except that. Because in that moment, you were triggered. And I was saying things. I'm talking about the original. When you said I did not ask you a question. I'm talking about that time. You were emotion triggered. I get it.
All right. So to continue talking about gaslighting, I don't know if that's what's happening here. But if it is, this might be an example of it within this relationship, that he is framing it, interestingly, with contemporary language around triggering and emotions. He's saying that when you're emotionally triggered, you become irrational and you don't even remember things. You become so distorted that you can't gauge reality. And when you try to reflect back on those moments when you were triggered, all of your memories are going to be wrong. I know what really happened, and you are crazy. And I just wonder if she has been gaslit and what the pattern here is. Has there been violence? I don't know. But if she's married to him, then presumably this relationship has been going on for a long time. And if this is reflective of their relationship, which I'm guessing it is, then she might be broken down in a variety of ways, mentally and emotionally, such that when she hears him talk like this, there might be part of her that's like, eh, I don't know. But another part of her that might be thinking, well, maybe he's right, because eventually they get under your skin.
I was talking. You seem like you're listening. I'm not there in person. I don't really know. If I was there in person, I can always tell when you're not listening. But the point is this. I asked you a question. You didn't hear the question. I had already guessed that. But when I paused, and you eventually, I'm not even going to fucking talk about the mechanism. You eventually said, or insinuated, you didn't ask a question, why are you pausing? And that's why I said, no, I did ask a question. And then you said, you're being crazy. You didn't ask a question. You said a statement. That's what you said. And that's what got me mad. Why? It's one thing to say, I didn't hear your question. That's fine. But you were essentially at that juncture saying, I'm crazy and have voices in my head.
I never said those words. I said,
insinuating.
So again, I don't know if you can hear that tune, that song that keeps going off. Those are things that happen when she gets a sub. So we just heard him over talking her. As soon as she tried to provide her opinion, he amps up his voice to overpower her. Let's rewind.
At that juncture, saying I'm crazy and have voices in my head.
I never said those words. I said,
insinuating. See, that's why I have to be real careful with the words. That is what that means.
And it is really, really strange, eerie in fact, when abusive people will accuse their victims of the exact same things that they are doing to the victim. So he is claiming that she calls him crazy. Now, maybe that's true. I don't know. But if we use this as a snippet for their relationship, it has been the opposite, right? Now, there are two categories of explanations as to why someone would do this. One is that they know they're doing it. They're Machiavellian. We're talking dark triad stuff. They're sadistic. They're psychopathic. Not all these things, but a combination of them. They know that they are the one that's wrong, and they are trying to manipulate the person consciously. They know they set out to do it because they don't care about other people, and she is a means to an end. I don't know what that would be exactly, could be attachment, could be money. I think she's very successful, so maybe he sees her as a meal ticket, so to speak. I don't know. But that's one category in which people will do these kinds of behaviors. The other one is that they are literally distorted. They see the world in the way that they talk about it. They believe it to be true. It's not a matter of them waking up in the morning and saying they're going to be a jerk face. They wake up in the morning and they see the world in a way that produces a lot of pain for them unnecessarily because they're distorting everything that's happening. And then they feel completely vindicated and righteous as they attack other people.
Even if you didn't mean to, that's what it means. If you go, you didn't even ask a question and you're waiting for an answer, bro, stop. That is insinuating someone is crazy. And if you don't know that, well, great. But then you got to be much more careful about your words.
Yeah, that superiority tone in his voice. There's something wrong with you, bro. And just, I mean, people. Really? Calling your wife bro? I don't know. Maybe that's a nickname, but probably not. Every person I've ever heard use that term, I have had a problem with. You can say bro occasionally, but not just that compulsive. Anyway, point is language. People can use it how they want to. But anyway, he's using that superior tone. Like, I know the deal. Okay, everyone understands you're an idiot. Yeah, there's really no context in which that would not be abusive, right? When I hear something like that, just that superiority in his voice of you're an idiot, and all she's been doing was just crying and trying to plead with him and really pointing out an obvious problem in his behavior that he threatened to kill her dogs, and he's just talking over her. So I'm pretty sure that my initial impression of him is at least somewhat accurate in terms of the conceptualization I've used. I don't know, obviously. I'd have to talk with everyone involved. And this is something to watch out for, because this can happen in what some people would call non-abusive relationships. You can have a relationship with someone that, you know, isn't abusive, but when they're stressed out, they will speak to you in this way.
Stop. That is insinuating someone is crazy. And if you don't know that, well, great. But then you got to be much more careful about your words, as you're telling me I should be.
Yeah, so you hear that. If you don't know that, great. Then da 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 da. But it's just interesting how it's completely flipped around. It's like, it's almost like he's yelling at himself. And this is another potential conceptualization of the situation, that the way he's treating her, he was treated this way, or he saw someone else being treated in this way. He saw a relationship in which someone was abusive verbally to someone else, or he was treated this way. And so on the inside, he actually feels crazy. He feels wrong. He feels too sensitive. But he absolutely hates that about himself because of the shame that he was going through. He projects that into someone else, and he's also internalized the abuser, and now he's attacking her. He projects onto her. That's the true definition of projection, at least in the psychoanalytic world. He projects aspects of himself onto her, things that he a long time ago was shamed terribly, terribly for, abused terribly for, and is determined to see her that way, even though she's doing nothing. She's just sitting there crying and listening, but he's projecting onto her and then attacking her. And then if you are her and you go through this enough, you start to believe the things that he is projecting onto you.
I just proved the point. No. It triggers me when you insinuate that about me, just like it triggers you when I say certain key words.
I did not.
What? Oh my God, what?
Yeah. Wow. So she tries to say something at all, and he talks over her, and now he's about to scream at her, and I'm guessing say that she is interrupting him, which is absurd. He's been yammering for 10 straight minutes, and she just wanted to say a phrase. She didn't even get a phrase. Let's rewind that.
It triggers me when you insinuate that about me, just like it triggers you when I say certain key words.
I did not.
What? Oh my God, why are you doing it even now?
Because I didn't say you were crazy. I just let you know that you didn't.
I didn't say you said I was. I said you insinuated.
Wow. Wow. Now, it's important to know that abusers like this do not start off a relationship like this. They usually will reveal this later on, partially because they're not as involved and thus not as triggered by their partners, but also potentially because they know that they will lose their partner if they show this side of themselves to people. Also, as they get more involved with someone, the more vulnerable they feel and thus the more defended they become. There's a wide variety of reasons. Or if they're a psychopath, they know they should wait until they really let you have it. There's various different reasons that are potentially true about it. But anyway, so I'm laughing, but it is not funny. This is the furthest thing from humor you could possibly watch. I hope she's okay. I mean, I know that this video has been seen by many, many people because a lot of people have asked me to watch it. So I assume, well, honestly, there's a lot of risk with this being out there because he could go off the deep end and hurt her seriously or hurt other people. I don't know. There's a lot of, I hope she's okay. But tell me she's okay. Please tell me that she's okay.
Okay, stop. Do you know what that word means or no? Are you just fucking fighting a battle when you don't even know what that word means? What does insinuate mean?
Like imply?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, okay?
Okay, well, so that face tells me that she's not at least entirely gaslit, if not gaslit at all. Because the face says, what's wrong with you? Why are you screaming at me? But the fact that she's sticking through this and probably has many times also might mean that she doesn't know or feel safe enough to actually push back. Because I have to say, if I were in a conversation like this, literally for 15 seconds, I'd be like, either you shut the fuck up or I'm gone. I'm going to hang up on you and I'll never talk to you again. And the divorce papers will be in the mail. So do we have an understanding? Because I'm not going to, I will take 5 seconds of that shit before I'm gone, you know? So the fact that she didn't do that means that he either has broken her down or she doesn't feel safe to push back, which you could absolutely imagine because the dogs and God knows what other threats are out there or what he's capable of. And also what he has control over, you know, because the other thing about people in the media, people will say like, well, she's super famous. She makes all this money. And thus who could touch her? She's a powerful person. Well, in some ways, when you are in that position, abusers will have even more power over you because they can ruin your career. They can call the press and say, or leak a video of you or something and just ruin you, right? And they can hold that over your head. So just because you have a lot of power doesn't mean that someone else can't come in and control you. Plus, if you have a history, a childhood of abuse, then it becomes even harder to figure out what to do and harder to connect with who you are and what your rights are.
You can imply something without meaning it. Isn't that true?
No.
Oh my God.
Like, you're starting to act like that I'm saying you're crazy. I was just letting you know that you didn't actually ask the question. It's okay to think that you asked a question, but not actually have asked. I was just letting you know that you didn't ask, and that's why I didn't answer. I didn't realize you were waiting for me to answer anything.
Okay, I'm ready to burn this empire to the ground. I have the tweet drafted. I'm just gonna send it now.
What are you sending?
The false fucking, swatting of your husband. And then having your fucking assistant do it too.
You literally tried to take my phone. I got scared because you got physical and I called.
Yeah, but I'm tweeting it now, so
good. But luck. So you're lying on my Twitter. That's gonna look real good.
Sure, whatever.
See, I just said that, so I don't know if that's what's happening right now. But in the emotional context, he is threatening or punishing her in this way, harming her image, harming her career, because she is not compliant. She is not obedient. She's not allowing herself to be gaslit, essentially. And for people who use gaslighting in a flippant way, I want you all to understand this is potentially gaslighting. I'd have to see the full pattern, or I'd have to assess what was happening, but I would not be surprised if this was a snippet of a larger campaign and style of communication, which he is gaslighting her. I don't know that, but it looks like that to me. This is potentially real gaslighting. When you and your friend remember something different from the night before, like you said, oh my God, last night you told me that you were gonna go to the thing with me. And then your friend's like, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. That is not gaslighting. But I often will hear people saying, oh my God, you're gaslighting me. And, you know, language changes, and so what are you going to do? But just understand, clinically speaking, this is a good clinical example of gaslighting. I don't know if that's what's happening, but these are some of the hallmarks. The talking over her, the yelling at her, the not listening to her, telling her she's crazy, talking down to her, talking with extreme authority, nitpicking about different words, always looking for an angle to make it so that she is stupid, that she doesn't know what's happening. She doesn't, her memory is bad. Her emotions are bad. Everything about her is bad. She can't even think straight. And he can all the time.
I don't care. I'm tweeting it. I'm Amrit's assistant. Or I'm Amrit's husband, and she is swatting me and calling the cops and calling it a false.
It sounds like, from her words, he was trying to grab her phone. Sounds physical. She called the police, which I think would be appropriate given her description. I don't know. And then he's framing it as that she swatted him. I mean, if they're in the same room, can you swat someone in the same room? Isn't that just swatting yourself? If you're not familiar, I'm sure many of you are, but if you're not, it's particularly a thing on Twitch where someone will be live streaming while they are playing a game, and someone who has, at least in this moment, zero morals and zero ethics will call in to law enforcement and say that there is someone at this house and they have a gun and they're threatening to kill people. And then the police department somehow just believes that without any evidence. And they arrive at, they get the SWAT team with assault rifles and body armor and the whole thing. Not always, but you know, in that direction. And they bang on the door and they come in and they make everyone get down on the floor at gunpoint. And while you're watching, while the troll is watching the individual online, they get some kind of kick out of it. And remember that there's a certain percentage of people who are sadistic, who are psychopathic, who have no empathy, who don't care about other people's feelings, who like seeing other people suffer. And those people have access to the internet. And so those people are more prone to stuff like that. Now, can someone who is not a psychopath do that because they're young or stupid or desperate or something? Yes, that can happen. But anyway, there's so many things wrong with that whole system that are obvious. But he is claiming that she swatted him because he was getting physical with her and she appropriately called the police. At least that's what it sounds like to me. So he's trying to frame it as that she trolled him or that she completely manipulated the police to come after him. And abusers will think that, whether it's conscious or not, they will feel completely victimized by their victim, even though they are the one who is victimizing.
I didn't say you abused me. I called the cops because you literally were on top of me trying to take my phones from me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised, but I was holding out for the possibility this wasn't true. So he is using physical force as well, which is, you know, pretty awful. I hope the authorities have been called. This individual needs to be sanctioned, needs to be mandated to treatment. Society and her needs law enforcement to actually help with this. Please tell me that everything's okay. After I watch this, I'll look up, see if what's been happening.
You're literally lying on my Twitter.
Yeah, I don't care. I built Twitter.
Yeah, you used my body to build this empire.
And I'm going to get your OnlyFans fan, too.
I literally know the CEO. I can literally just ask her. You don't know her. You don't even talk to her.
Okay, so it sounds like they're talking about their organization and the structure. And I think she just said that he used her body to build the empire. I don't know what that means. Does that mean he's been exploiting her?
I'm the one who calls her!
My body is in the content and I never signed a waiver.
Your body is not in the content.
Really?
Your hands? Ooh, a lot of people's hands are.
I must sue you for every fucking dime.
You lit the whole thing, all those concepts were literally your idea. You can't, like, act like you didn't.
I didn't sign a waiver.
You don't need to sign the waiver if it was your idea.
Okay, let's see how that holds up legally.
I don't know, but it sounds like potentially he is using whatever he can to threaten her because he has not gotten her into a state that he feels in total control. I'm guessing that if she went to a place that she might have gone to in the past where she would just completely give up and say, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm so sorry, I'll do anything you want me to do, that he would eventually de-escalate. Because you can't keep that up all the time, right? So I think that's what he's hoping to do emotionally. He's trying to get her back to that place that he has managed to get her in the past. But for whatever reason, I think she is not going there. She's not letting herself go there. Maybe it was a threat to the dogs. Maybe she got some support. Maybe she's at her wit's end. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if she is putting up more resistance than she had. Maybe it was because of the physical altercation. I don't know, but she is resisting and he senses that he's losing control, I think, and thus is doing whatever he can to intimidate her and scare her. And this is something that abusive people will do all the time. It's almost like they have in their quiver, you know, bow and arrow and quiver, they have all these arrows ready to go. They've been preparing them for this moment. And they will frequently pull these out when they need to. And they will be very different arrows coming from very different directions, right? There's the dog angle. We've heard that. I will kill your dogs. There's the, I will tweet about you. There's the, I will sue you, right? There's the, I will call the cops on you. I think he was saying something like that. And countless other arrows that he is pulling out right now. I think because he's really trying to get her to obey, to get her into that state where she is completely compliant and then he can relax.
What?
I'm gonna spend tonight disassembling this entire fucking empire.
This is kind of like that situation that was depicted in the documentary Bad Vegan, where you had the figurehead, a woman who had found a lot of success, and then this guy comes in and is behind the scenes being extremely controlling and abusive of the successful entrepreneur.
What the fuck are you saying?
I'm saying what I'm saying. Stop acting like you. Oh shit. I almost accidentally fucking hit it because of this fucking car that almost came. What are you doing?
Just fucking tweet it if you're gonna tweet it.
Really?
Yeah, go for it.
You don't think I will?
No, I don't think you will because you know that you're lying.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because if he tweets something that would ruin her career and maybe start an online back and forth between him and her, I think he suspects that he will lose that fight because the fans love her, I think, and don't even maybe know who he is. Or she said that his hands were in a video, so maybe they know, the fans know him from hands or something. I don't know. Anyway, point is that she knows that he's lying either because of that or that he's made these threats before. And if that's all true, if he is lying and he knows he's lying and he knows she knows that he's just bluffing and he just said that thing of like, oops, I almost clicked it. Ooh. If that's what it is, it would be very transparent to her, right? That he was not actually going to tweet that and that he didn't almost actually, you know, send it. And now she's calling his bluff.
The fuck does that matter? It'll only make me continue to lie and tear down your entire fucking image. You said I could tweet it, right?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, no taking this back.
Okay.
I'm just gonna fucking do it on personal too.
Okay. Let's go ahead and lie. Whatever.
Why the fuck do I care? If we're going to war, why the fuck do I care? You just lied to me. And shut the fuck up. I'm gonna fucking tweet this shit.
I didn't lie to you at all.
I'm gonna make it worse than fuck it. You call me a liar? Fuck it, I'll make it worse.
By what?
You don't even know. Fuck you.
What are you even talking about, man?
You said I could tweet it, so I'm gonna fucking tweet it now, but I'm gonna write some more shit.
Because I can't stop you. You have my logins to all my accounts.
Wow, it sounds more like Bad Vegan all the time. And she is saying that he has access to all of her accounts. He has the logins. I don't know, but given what we've heard, I would guess that that was a progressive thing that he did. Or maybe it's just part of their business operations. I don't know. But at the very least, if you are her and you are thinking about pushing back on him and asserting yourself, you could worry that he could completely actually bring down the entire empire, right?
We don't get along. We should not be together.
We got along fine until you decided to make money at the main priority.
I didn't say a thing. I said.
All right, interesting. So he's saying they shouldn't be together. And then she says, we get along fine until you made making money the main priority. And you know, that's interesting. Could be, but usually with people like him, the personality is there. It doesn't just suddenly emerge. So a possible narrative is that he was kind of abusive in the beginning, who knows? And she either didn't notice because of her past or something. And then once they started to go into business together and there was more at stake, I don't know. And or their relationship just got more involved, that and more of his personality was at stake, more of his attachment worries, his insecurities were, his vulnerabilities were at stake. That's when his abusive behavior amped up and the conflict amped up. But it's not because he was a good guy before and the money has corrupted him, but because it would have happened probably anyway, maybe over a slower period. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that just because of the business, he has become like this. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very specific presentation of behavior.
It's okay for you to not hear. It's not okay for you to tell me what I didn't say, especially it's a context.
Just fucking done with it. Never good enough. When I was a 1K, when I was a 500K Andy, it was like, why can't you just get 1K? When I was a 1K, why can't you just get 5K? When I was 5K, why can't you just get 10K? And now that I'm a 10K Andy, it's like, why can't you be a 20K? It's like, it's never fucking good enough. I don't get days off. I don't get to see my horses. He's saying he's gonna sell my horses because I'm not hitting 20K, 15K average viewers.
Wow. That's interesting. If that's true, wow. Imagine someone abusing someone and controlling someone to that degree, what she just described. Wow. Because so far we've just been hearing allusions to things and his tone of voice, but if that's true, wow. It's almost like she's a slave. Really, right?
Fucking tired of this shit. Too much. Now he's blaming me. He's like, oh, I was literally answering DMs while arguing with you. It's still working. You just ruined us. I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't fucking say you're gonna kill my dogs, you fucking dipshit. Like, I'm so tired of it. If you can't fucking control yourself, fucking go to anger management like I've been trying to tell you for years. Go get fucking therapy.
Interesting. So for years, she's been trying to get him to go to treatment, anger management. And the way it sounds, it's possible that what pushed her over the edge was threatening to kill her dogs, which I can imagine. I've seen that before, where someone will allow themselves to be abused because of the way they were treated growing up. But then when you threaten their pets or their kids or something else outside of them, that's when they're saying, no, we're done, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's what we're hearing. Because it sounds like she purposely decided to stream while she was talking to him because she intuited that if she were to broadcast the way that he is, because she knew he would present himself in that way, that it would ruin him and she would be able to get some power over this. And I hope that that's the case, that she did get some power over this.
Script of Hell UTH. You know what you are.
I would lock my door, but he broke that too.
Okay, I've been watching but not reacting because it's been more similar content. He is no longer on the phone with her and people are still subscribing. And I think those songs that come on when people subscribe, those maybe are nice things when you're playing a game and you're having a fun time, but it's a very odd. It reminds me of a time, I won't go into detail, but I saw a pretty horrific car accident many years ago, and the car that had crashed, the radio was still on and it was playing this very jovial song, and it was not a jovial, it kind of has that feel to it. Also, I'll say that although there's a lot of people who are being supportive to her, there are some people that are just like, hey, play Fortnite or whatever she plays. They're like, how come you're not playing the game? Now, maybe they just logged on and they just, so, you know, hopefully that's what happened. But anyway, so now she's showing that he did this to her door so that she can't lock it, because to be able to lock a door is to have control and power, and abusive people can't tolerate that.
So,
best,
you know,
advice I can give during my divorce my grandma gave. This too shall pass.
And so I ran in here to call the
cops. I can give during my divorce my grandma gave. This too shall pass.
Another kind of annoying thing is that whenever someone subscribes, it plays this audio file, and I find it to be extremely annoying. I don't watch Twitch. I've watched Twitch. It could be fine, but I mean, just imagine that if every time in my video someone subscribed, it played this like sound. And plus, it's like, if I'm subscribing to something, do I need some sort of sounder to go off? Like, I can just subscribe subscribe, so I don't need to be recognized, especially right in the moment, it interferes with someone's content. I'm just old man shakes fist at Twitch. But anyway, so I had to rewind it to really try to get what she was saying, because I think it's important. She's talking about their relationship and the abuse she's going through. And she was saying that when he was trying to take away the phone, that's when he kicked her door in. And I've seen this before. When I first started out as a clinician, cell phones didn't really, or at least they weren't in common usage, so it wasn't a problem. But as cell phones became more common and ubiquitous, it became a flashpoint for a variety of violent behavior, not only in couples, but in families. I would see teenagers that would be on their phone, and the parents, for one reason or another, would be trying to get the phone from the kids, sometimes for legitimate, understandable reasons, sometimes not. And violence would occur where violence wasn't normal in the relationship between the child and the parents. And also within abusive relationships, the victim has power as long as they have their phone, because not only can they call the police, but they can also contact their support system, right? And if you are an abusive individual and you're trying to get total control over someone, then you cannot have your victim have access to their phone, particularly when you're going through a conflict, because you know, as the abusive person, that the victim, in a state of fear and hurt and anger, that the victim might text their friends and actually get advice that is counter to what the abusive person wants. And so sometimes a high degree of control and violence can occur over the abusive person trying to get the phone away from the victim, which it kind of sounds like that's what was happening.
And so I ran in here to call the cops, and he literally kicked the door in and broke, like, this doesn't even have a hinge anymore. And then he also, another day, right when the SD Peach came, he was like trying to smash my phone against my computer, trying to put a monster on my computer,
timing,
and then
but
took
I
the
need
fucking
$50,000.
Thing, took one of the objects in my room, I think it was like one of the chairs or one of the tables, and like hit it against this wall and made this.
Yeah, the more I hear, the more it is in line with my initial impression that this is an ongoing relationship of abuse. It has all the classic signs. I don't need to point them out. They're pretty obvious, right? Abusive relationships have multiple instances coming from various different angles that all add up to an abusive individual, which I think is what we're seeing.
This was my dog. This was him. Just like throw stuff. Fucking water bottles.
No one should be putting hands.
God, that subscriber tone that comes on all the time. I wish she had a button or she could turn it. I don't think she can hear it because I don't think she has her headphones on anyway. And this should all alert us that even someone as powerful as she is, as privileged and as rich as she still can become victimized by an effective abuser, because abusive individuals know how to break you down. They know how to scare you. They know how to intimidate you. And especially if you come from a history of abuse as a victim, it becomes normalized. But even if you don't, you can have someone that's never been through an abusive situation and they have a relatively healthy view of themselves and self-esteem, and you put them in a relationship and you slowly progress into an abusive relationship. 99 times out of 100, that victim will still have a very hard time getting out and still have a very hard time knowing that they deserve better, because the cycle of abuse, it's so insidious. And so we should all be aware of that, because not only when we're looking at our friends or famous people or other privileged individuals, we should be able to say, well, it doesn't really matter that they have power and money, they can still be victimized. But also for ourselves, we might feel like everything's fine in our life and that would never happen to me, but it absolutely can happen to you. And that's why we all need to be aware of this, not only for ourselves, but for people around us.
That car ride, stream lag so bad, this is fail, massive fail. A fail. The fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out there. And, the cameraman, we're like, we're in the house now. It's like, the next time when I say plan, do it. Dumb fuck, do you understand? Like, what plan you're talking about? It's like, fuck this, I'm calling you.
All right, so she's showing a text exchange in which he is also abusive over text, which is yet another venue, an example of the overall abusive relationship that this is. Usually the abusive behavior will exist in several different arenas, in several different ways. You don't usually just see it over text and nowhere else, because the individual, the abusive person, has a personality that actually reacts in abusive behavior, and it spans all domains, including texting.
So I disappeared from stream. Takes a call. So I can't tell them I can't talk right now. We're getting Wi-Fi. I don't care. You get the call now. Last chance. About to dump your luggage. You know, from my hotel room. But throwing your stupid merch off the balcony.
So we're seeing more threats. And I'm guessing that for her, the way she reacts to these threats is, I don't think she really thinks she's going to do it, because she's probably seen the threats over and over and over again. But I'll tell you that even if you're pretty sure, you know, say you're 99% sure that he isn't going to kill your dogs, what if you're wrong? What about that 1% chance that he does kill your dogs? It's always that small chance that will motivate people to try to please the abusive individual. And that's why you need all that support that I was talking about, and a lot of measures so that you can protect you and the people around you while you are extracting yourself.
Proceeding to ditch your stuff. You'll need the makeup or the live view, like the stream epic, or the clothes, huh? Deleting social media in 1 minute, buying options that expire and blasting the cash, about to shut down your bank account too. Lag is terrible, stream is garbage. About to delete Twitter in 30 seconds. If you don't call me, your phone's literally off, right? I'm just like, it literally died. Gonna donate $250,000 to Polo Missy. He's like a bird sanctuary he likes. In the next 2 minutes, $250,000 gone. We'll donate $500,000 in 3 minutes. If no call in 1 minute, I will absolutely make sure Kyron goes to a meatpacking house. And that's what made me lose it. Threatening to kill the dog.
Yeah, that's another aspect of abuse. Remember that arrow and the quiver metaphor I was using? They'll throw all sorts of things, and you can hear it, you can see it in this text. And then he manages to get an arrow in there that actually gets under her skin, because something eventually, and sometimes it's just a matter of fatigue as a victim. You're just like, you can't hold up the defenses any longer. But sometimes the abuser will finally figure out, okay, I got him now. And they're hoping that through that, they can gain total control over you. But it sounds like she knows what's up. And it sounds like she has reached her limit with it, which is encouraging. And so I think what did get under her skin is that he is threatening to kill, I think, her horse and put it in the meatpacking house, meaning that he would process her horse into meat. My God. Wow.
Dog today was like the last one, man. I could not take it anymore. 20 seconds, time's up, $750,000 gone. Now we can't do a down payment for a California house. Another $250,000 in 5 minutes. About the tweet about you swatting me. The thing he said he was lying about, admitted it. And 10 minutes. 10 minutes, you never talk to my nephews again. Tweeting in 2 minutes.
So that was another angle of the attack. You're never going to talk to my nephews again. I'm guessing because she really loves his nephews and has bonded. And so he's throwing out whatever he can to try to gain control.
It's 1 minute gone. Tweeting in 1 minute. $1 million donating to Palombacy. LOL, making me reduce it a dollar. He didn't actually do it. He's just a fucking pussy. Another $250,000 in 5 minutes. Don't worry, I unpacked you. I went back to my hotel and my stuff that was literally like unpacked just to make it inconvenient so that I had to scramble to the airport. Like, we went to therapy in like 2020.
Okay, so they went to therapy. I don't know if she'll elaborate on that, but some people will say that couple therapy is ineffective with situations like this because he's abusive. And what I would say is that it can be absolutely ineffective if the abusive person doesn't meaningfully participate. But I have worked with couples where one of the individuals was abusive, and because I was able to get the victim's story, and because I did have a bond with the abusive individual, with both people, but also with the abusive individual, I was able to acclimate the abusive person to the reality of their behavior and help them move towards recovery. It takes a long time and might involve them going to a specialist for that kind of treatment, and maybe even individual therapy as well, which often will be the recommendation. And then after that, I can become an adjunct to that treatment because I can be there to facilitate conversations such that the victim can tell me, oh, by the way, this week he started to go into some abusive language again, and we would talk about it. It's not a matter of me shaming the abusive person. It's a matter of saying, let's go to our emotional regulation. There are other ways to talk about this. We all understand where it's coming from. We understand it's not okay. Let's work on it. What's a better way to talk about this? I can be there to empower the victim. I can be there to lay ground rules such that if there is any threat of violence, that there's a safety protocol that we follow. And even when I worked for the domestic violence treatment group, in which individuals were mandated into the group, I would often work with the victims as well, you know, similarly, not in couple therapy, but I would meet individually with the victims at times to get an update from them and to help them work. Because if the victim and the abuser are going to stay in a relationship, which happens sometimes, of course, for better or for worse, then I need the victim to understand what's happening so that they can have power and that they can work with the treatment team for not only the victim's safety, but also for the reduction of the abusive behavior and the change in the personality of the abusive individual.
And then, like, the therapist even told him that it's a form of, like, psychological abuse and that I'm basically living in a fancy prison. And then he was changed for a bit. And then the hot tub meta arose. And he was like, oh, this is an opportunity. And then he turned into an asshole again.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit more background. They went to therapy, and the therapist identified it as the way that she sees it, that she's in a, what'd she say, like a fancy prison, and that he's emotionally and verbally abusive. It sounds like, according to her, he scaled back the behavior, changed, but then when there's an opportunity to make more money, that's when he became abusive again.
When I agreed to commit to the grind because it was a good financial opportunity for us. And there went all the therapy progress, right out the window.
And that's why you stay in therapy. I mean, I don't want to blame her, of course. None of this is her fault. But when I treat couples, I often will find that they need to stay in couple therapy, sometimes in perpetuity. Not weekly, but maybe eventually we get to a point where they're in couple therapy 6 times a year, every 2 months or something. Because the problems that arise that were very prevalent during the very conflictual time will always kind of be there. They're always at risk of reemerging. And so, I don't know, but it sounds like they went to therapy for a little bit of time. It got a little better, and then maybe they stopped going, and maybe they should have stayed in therapy, obviously.
That doesn't fucking help that, like, all the fucking accounts are, like, two-factored under his number and all the... He has all, like, the login information of things, you know? It's, like, that keeps you there with the fear and the threats. And you fear that he's going to do something to your animals. And then he's nice again. And says that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. I'm sorry. I won't do that. I won't get therapy. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she's describing the abusive cycle to a T. He will get full control. He will go through an abusive period, threaten to kill. It sounds like it's happened multiple times. Threaten to kill her dogs. And then afterwards, he will reconcile and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I'll go to therapy. And then tension builds, abuse happens, you know, just round and round and round.
Why would you ask if I'm taking my...
Okay, so I think that's the end of the stream. And I'm now going to look up if she's okay.
And I don't have to wear cleavage every day. I can wear clothes.
She live streamed this saying that she can wear clothes. She doesn't have to wear revealing clothing, presumably because she's not being forced to, and now she's in control of herself and her body and her content, which is good. Let's see what else we can find on the internet. Okay. So I'm relieved. I found an article on Kotaku saying that she's okay now and that she says she's free from him. She has control of her accounts back, I think, and she is now seeking an attorney to help her with the situation with her husband. And I'll say that when you're in a battle like that, one of the things that can be extremely helpful is to have evidence. And she has a ton of evidence of his behavior. The threats. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just going to take a guess and say that that is not going to help his case, given all of the things that she recorded during this time. And this is something that some advocates, some specialists who are helping people to extract themselves from relationships like this will do. They will talk about documentation and videotaping and recording so that when the time comes, you can actually pull this stuff out. Now, I will say, just because she says that she's safe doesn't mean that she's actually safe. People in his shoes have sought revenge through various different means, including murder, days, weeks, months, years after the event. So hopefully she has a system in place such that she can protect herself from any kind of behavior, from any kind of threat that he presents. I don't know if he presents a threat, but I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't be unreasonable for her to worry about that, right? But anyway, so she seems to be doing okay now, and I guess time will tell as time goes forward. Today, just full disclosure, it's the 18th of October. Usually my videos post well after I make them, so there's probably more news between now and the time that this is posted. But anyway, yeah, well, I commend her for having the bravery to get through this, to fight back in ethical ways of asserting for herself. I commend her for raising awareness, perhaps in a community that doesn't get a lot of that sort of content. I commend her for not being ashamed of herself. She doesn't seem to be beating herself up about it anyway. There's a possibility that her story from this point forward is a beacon of hope for other victims to come forward. You know, I'm sure that's already happened. I'm sure there were people watching the stream or people who have subsequently watched it who are like, oh my God, that's what I'm going through. Wait, is that abuse? So I commend her for raising awareness on that. And I really hope that she is given the time and the space to heal from this. It could take years to heal from the trauma regarding what she went through. So I'm happy that she's safe. And everyone out there, please take care of yourself, because you deserve it. You really, really do.